Hollywood, NBC brings you Hedda Hopper. Hedda Hopper, who daily reports to 30 million readers in America and 8 foreign countries, now reports to you on the air. Here is Hedda Hopper's Hollywood, from a desk by the window looking right down on Hollywood and Vine. And here she is, Hedda Hopper.
Everybody, look over my shoulder while I write my column. We'll have news about famous people here in Hollywood and elsewhere. And we'll have personal visits with Fernando Lamas, Sterling Holloway, Pola Negri, and Loretta Young. Okay, let's go. Lionel Barrymore's illness is more serious than at first supposed. He suffered a heart attack. Ingrid Bergman and Roberto Rossellini will make a picture together in Paris this summer titled Europe 1951 with Ingrid starred. Countess Dorothy DiPresso had to give up her title of princess. The Italian government wanted it back. Helen Kagan Douglas and husband Melvin Douglas have been separated geographically. She in Washington, or here electioneering, and he's been with the show. Helen now lives in New York. She's leased her home here, and Melvin has rented a house in Beverly Hills. Is this the confirmation of the rumor that they'll make their separation permanent? Anyway, Helen doesn't live here anymore. The first ticket Irene Dunne sold for the benefit premiere of The Mudlark went to Mabel Fortescue Harrison, whose aunt wrote in The Gloaming. It became Queen Victoria's favorite song, and the composer played it for her every night for 25 years. Monotonous, wasn't it? Voted Argentina's most popular actor in 1949, Fernando Lamas has been here in Hollywood for a whole year. You haven't met Fernando yet. He's signed for top starring parts at MGM, but his first picture hasn't yet been released. He's never been on the air before, that is, until I caught up with him rehearsing some songs in the soundstage.
Solamente una vez, amén la vida, solamente una vez. Nada más. Una vez, nada más en mi huerto, brilló la esperanza que alumbra el camino de mi soledad.
You know, I didn't expect you to be singing, Fernando. I understood that you have a dramatic part in your next picture with Greer Garson, The Law and Lady Lovelace.
Well, Hedda, you know, I was an actor in Argentina for 6 years before I sang a note on the screen.
Then what happened?
Well, I heard of a fine role in a musical comedy opening in Buenos Aires, and, well, I thought I'd take a crack at it. I took some singing lessons, and I was lucky enough to get the part.
You mean just like that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know that Leland Hayward wanted you in the Pinza role in South Pacific.
Yes, Hedda, it seems that I have two loves, two careers. And because I would like to keep both, here I am rehearsing songs.
Well, tell me, how come you speak such good English?
Here I am rehearsing songs.
Huh?
Yes, that's how I do it, you know. I practice my English singing. Listen to me.
In the morning, out on the job, work like a devil for my pay. But that lucky old son has nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. Pass with my woman, toil for my kids, sweat till I'm wrinkled and gray. But that lucky old son has nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. Good luck. And down the cloud with a simple rising, let me put far above. Show me that river, take me across, and wash all my troubles away. Like that lucky old sun, give me nothing. But roll along heaven,
what I mean? Well, you'll be hearing and seeing this new star a lot in the future. But remember, you heard him for the very first time tonight, Mr. Fernando Lapp. Hedy Lamarr tells me she's made her last picture. I'm retiring from the screen. I'll rent my Beverly home and go wherever I like and do whatever I please. Eventually, I'll settle down with a husband who has a heart and a soul. I asked if she'd picked him out yet. No, but several are under consideration. Errol Flynn may not have been told yet, but his x-rays show his back injury is so great that he'll have to undergo surgery. At their dinner next week, the Foreign Press Association will choose as their woman of the year, Ida Lupino. Mario Lanza, recovering from pleurisy, had to cancel 8 concert dates. It's believed he'll be able to start his tour in Scranton, Pennsylvania, February the 16th. Paola Negri is one of the fabulous names in motion pictures. Glamorous, exotic, a fine actress, her fame has spread over the entire world. Well, yesterday I visited Paola in a beautiful home in Beverly Hills. She was as excited as a little girl. Why? Because that very morning she received her American citizenship papers. I asked her how she felt.
I feel humble and proud, Hedda. Proud of the privilege of being an American citizen. I have never before had a chance to stay in the United States long enough to qualify for citizenship. Several times I went abroad to make a picture once I left the country to get married. But ever since I first landed in America, I have known that this is my land. Doubly dear to me because it was the land of my choice. When I was in the courtroom with 200 other people and heard the judge say to us, "You are one of us now. You can live without fear." I looked around. I saw love, gratitude, and loyalty on all the faces. I didn't bother to wipe my tears away. Too many others had tears to notice me. Hedda, I've had my share of honors. My citizenship is the greatest. I've had my share of precious possessions. This piece of paper is the most priceless thing I own.
Bless you, Paola Negri. And to repeat the words of that judge, welcome, because now you're one of us. I didn't realize my cold showed in my voice in my last 2 broadcasts until I received the following note from a listener. I'm just about as old as you, Tallulah Bankhead and Marlena Dietrich. Last night I listened to Tallulah growl. Then Marlena came on with a voice a tone deeper, and by the time I tuned in on you, I felt I was in the men's lounge. Sir Cedric Hardwick's son, Edward, has joined the RAF. He's only 18. Marlo Brandau has refused Hollywood Pictures at $100,000 apiece, but he'll go to Palestine to make one on a very small budget for a friend. Judy Garland having cocktails with Michael Wilding, could it be that the sophisticated Englishman will replace Sid Luft? Bud Schulberg's fine novel, The Disenchanted, was bought by John Huston for $75,000. Metro has another box office hit in Kim. It's doing as well as King Solomon's Mines. Under a picture of Errol Flynn clutching a harem beauty was this caption: "Let the Sultan beware, Flynn is loose in the harem." Linda Donnell has finally... What in heaven's name is... Well, it's not funny. Patsy, what's the matter with you out there?
I'm talking to a lion.
You're what? Did you say a lion?
Just me, Hedda.
Sterling Holloway.
I was just telling Patsy a story, that's all, while I waited for a chance to interrupt you.
Mission accomplished. What's on your mind?
Nothing, practically. But I've understood there was a place in your column, Hedda, where people could sound off about small things, even.
How small?
As small as kids. And I mean, you keep overlooking kids. But, well, who are the movie's biggest customers? The smallest ones. Who do we buy television sets for? Kids. Who eats the most popcorn? Outside of adults, that is.
Sterling, I'm crazy about kids. I've never...
Oh, they're here to stay, you know. But here in this column, do you ever recognize it? You write about Oscars and dramatize big, important pictures, but have you ever said a word about the greatest box office attraction of all, the longest run in show business, the thing that's on more marquees than any other
what
thing?
What on earth are you talking about?
Selected short subjects. For kids. And that brings up my next subject. You introduced new stars in this very column. You've got a big scoop about a star from South America. Well, I could give you a preview of an even bigger one from South Africa. A lot bigger. In fact, he's even got four legs.
He's what? Oh, the lion. That's the lion.
Of course. His name is Lambert. He hasn't even been born yet, but he will be as soon as Walt Disney releases him or turns him loose. Oh, but not that he'll hurt anybody. He's not earth-shaking or super-colossal or even able to chew on world events.
But yes, he's plenty important to the most important part of our audience. Well, come on, Sterling. Time out for selected short subjects. Give us the small size scoop on Lambert.
Well, it's about sheep, too. Once upon a time, the springtime. Well, as a matter of fact, the nighttime in the springtime. A certain flock of sheep had a visit from old Mr. Stork. Well, a stork is only a delivery service, that's all. And mistakes will happen. I mean, working in the dark and all. Instead of leaving a little lamb for Mrs. Sheep, he left Lambert, a tiny baby lion. Well, the next morning, Lambert looked pretty silly, and all the real, genuine lambs laughed at him and teased him.
Lambert! You can't even baa and you can't even bleat. Your ears are too big and so are your feet. Lambert!
Your tail is too short, and so is your wool. There isn't enough for one bagful.
Lambert, the sheep is lying. Lambert is always trying to be a wild and woolly sheep. Lambert, the sheep is lying.
The little lambs got Lambert's goat. He was a nervous wreck. He had to hide behind his maw to save his little neck. He couldn't baa and he couldn't butt. At last, poor Lambert knew. He hated to admit that he was yellow through and through. But time changes everything. The little spring lambs were sheep by fall. And Lambert's ma, oh, was she proud of him? Because she had the biggest sheep, or lamb, or mutton, or... Anyway, isn't he huge? Mercy. However, he's still the butt of all their jokes and takes it on the chin. But he's not ferocious like a sheep. But he has a sheepish grin. One night, the sheep were fast asleep. Lambert woke up with a fright, for he had heard an awful sound and saw an awful, awful sight. A hungry wolf had found the flock. Lambert was
petrified. He crawled behind his little maw and tried his best to hide.
Lambert! Lambert!
Too bad that Lambert couldn't help.
Lambert!
But what could he do, poor fellow? He couldn't bark. He couldn't butt. He was big, but he was yellow.
Lambert! Lambert! Lambert!
But when he saw this gruesome sight and heard his mother crying, something snapped inside him.
He was a raging lion.
Oh, incidentally, I don't want you to worry about that hungry wolf. This isn't a grown-up movie, so I want to make things very clear. Lambert chased that wolf up a bush. But don't worry, he won't starve there. Just have a little wait, that's all. That bush has berries every spring.
Oh, Lambert! Lambert!
Lambert's mother is so proud. Her baby's no buffoon. He's a mighty hero now. And the sheep have changed their tune.
Lambert, the sheep is lying. Lambert, there's no denying. Now get the wild and woolly sheep. Instead of a sheep, this wailing and weep, this little bald peep, this lion.
The end.
And thank you, Sterling Holloway. And you too, Walt Disney, for a very selected short subject. Now, as I was saying, Linda Darnell finally divorced her best friend, her husband, Peg Marvley. He married her only after she lost her first contract at 20th Century Fox. Danny Kaye and Gene Crane were the first stars to donate their services to the Metropolitan Opera Supper Dance to be held aboard the new luxury liner SS Independence, February the 6th. There's a lovely star in Hollywood who has had plenty of chances to be excited about her career. The part she's played, the awards, the honors she's received. But she's a girl who practices her religion proudly and faithfully. And so I wasn't the least bit surprised when Loretta Young told me that her biggest thrill in movies was when she played a Catholic nun in Come to the Stable.
Well, Hedda, there were actually two nuns. Celeste Holm played Sister Scholastica, remember?
I certainly do, Loretta. Seeing that picture was a heartwarming experience. I'll never forget the sight of the two of you in your black habit, driving down Fifth Avenue in a Jeep, or Sister Scholastica banging away at a tennis ball.
Oh, yes, wasn't she a delight? But that picture was full of wonderful human touches, I thought.
What
do
you mean?
The part I liked best had to do with another kind of touch.
What do you mean?
Well, now, do you remember the scene where we went to see Mr. Angelo Rossi?
Oh, yes, I do indeed. Faith and innocence will try anything, won't they? Come on. How about reliving that part, the big touch?
Come to the Stable is the story of a private pilgrimage of two nuns. How they came to America from their convent in France. Sister Margaret, originally from Chicago, and Sister Scholastica, a French woman. It's also the story of a dream so big and ambitious that according to all laws of reason and logic, it didn't have a prayer. But just because of a prayer, it did come true. Angelo Rossi was to us just the name of a man we had to see shortly after we landed in New York. But why did that name make people look at us so strangely, even policemen?
Angelo Rossi?
Yes.
Oh, look, sisters, are you sure you want to see a guy like that?
Oh, very sure, officer. So will you direct us, please?
Yeah. Yeah, Joe. That's right. Spread 200,000 in Chicago, New Orleans, Kansas City, and L.A. What? Hold on, Alfie. Sam, have you heard anything from Santa Anita?
Not yet, Mr. Rossi.
Not yet, Joe. I'll call you back. What's the matter with you?
Well, there's a couple of nuns out there, Chief. Lefty and Rosie let them upstairs, the lugs.
Nuns? They touch? Okay. Here. Give him this. Now, what's the matter with you, Sam?
Well, it's them two nuns, boss. I can't get rid of them.
What do you mean you can't? Did you give them the 100?
They don't want money, boss.
Then where's the 100?
They took it, boss.
Oh, they did, eh? Come on, beat it, beat it.
Okay, okay, boss.
I'll get rid of them myself. Oh, now listen, sisters.
Are you Mr. Rossi?
Yes.
May we come in?
Well, look.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. My name is Sister Margaret, and this is Sister Scholastica.
That's very interesting, sisters. But what did you want to see me about?
A promise, Monsieur Rossi. Our promise. Yes, Mr. Rossi. You see, during the war, Sister and I worked in a children's hospital in France. It stood on a hilltop in the path of an advancing American armored division. The Nazis used it as an observation post, and it was inevitable that the hospital would have to become a target. Well, we moved most of the children out, but over 100 could not be taken from their beds. They were all critical cases. And so one night, I made a promise to God that if he would help me get through to the American general and the hospital would be spared, that one day I would come back to my own country and build just such a hospital for her sick children.
What happened? Did you get through?
Oh, yes. We got through. 3 days later, when the attack was over, everything in the village was leveled to the ground, but the hospital still stood. And so, you see, God kept his end of the bargain, and now I'm trying to keep mine, and Sister Scholastic here has promised to help me.
It was presumptuous of us. Perhaps as the debt is great and our payment is small by comparison.
But I don't get it. What does all this have to do with me?
Well, a young American officer gave us a postcard. It was a reproduction of the painting called Come to the Stable, and in the background was a beautiful hill. Well, that painting was made near a place called Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
It was to us like the Star of Bethlehem pointing the way.
Yes. We came to Bethlehem and found that hill, the very place for the hospital. And then, Mr. Rossi, we found that the property belongs to you.
Yeah, that's right. And it's not for sale.
Oh, we couldn't buy it, Mr. Rossi. We haven't any money. But we are sincere in our belief that you might want to donate the land to us.
What?
Donate the land to us.
Sisters.
Yes?
You've got a very worthy cause, sisters. But you know how it is. I can't do it. I got it in my mind to build the best place money can buy. A place anybody would be proud to own. Something that'll last. A man like me has got to think of a place to go when he wants to retire. You know, when the things get too hot. A hideout, strictly early American. The older Rossi estate.
But, Mr. Rossi, don't you...
No, sisters, I'm sorry, but I can't do it.
Oh. Well, we understand, Mr. Rossi, and thank you for giving us so much of your time. And your generous contribution, too.
Oh, that's okay, sister. Well, good luck anyway.
Oh, God has been very good to us. Our boat docked only yesterday morning, and already we've made such good friends.
Wait a minute.
Yes?
Your convent over in France. Was it anywhere near Rouen?
Oh, quite near. Why?
I suppose it's a long shot. But when the GIs were there, you didn't by any chance happen to run across a corporal named Rossi. Angelo Rossi Jr., my kid. That's where he was.
Sister? Menmo? Oh, I wish we could say we had. You see, there were so many. Oh, but I'm sure you must be very proud of him.
Yeah. Well, so long, sisters.
Goodbye. Mr. Rossi, your son, he did come back, didn't he?
No.
Oh. Oh, I'm so sorry. So sad for you and your wife.
My wife, she died before the kid did.
Oh.
She died happy. It was different with her. The priest was with her. And after, there was a service at the church, and they said a high mass, and then the funeral in Calvary Cemetery. She's got a big monument there.
Oh.
But I don't know where he was. He was one of the unidentified ones.
I see. Well, say a prayer for him, Mr. Ross.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. And goodbye.
Good day, Monsieur Rossi. Oh, goodbye.
Goodbye. Hey, sisters! Wait! Sisters.
Yes?
This hospital, is it going to have windows in it?
Oh, of course, Mr. Rossi. We want it to be as cheerful as possible.
Oh, I'm not talking about those kind of windows. I'm talking about the real ones. The colored ones. With the writing on
them. Oh, stained. A memorial window. Well, I don't know. We hadn't thought about that yet.
Put one in. A big one. With Angelo Rossi Jr. on it. And the land is yours.
Did you hear that? Sister Margaret?
God bless you, Mr. Rossi.
Same for you, sisters.
Oh, thank you.
But wait a minute.
Yes?
You say you have no money. How are you going to build a hospital? You'll never make it.
Oh, the motto of our order is Labora et Ora. It means we work and we pray. With work and prayer, Mr. Rossi, one cannot fail. Will you say a prayer for us, too, Mr. Rossi?
Oh, my prayers aren't worth much, I'm afraid. Praying isn't much in my line. But if it will please you...
Oh, it will. And it will please God very much. Goodbye, Mr. Rossi. They came to the stable. And why shouldn't we turn to the teachings of the man born in the stable for guidance and light in these troubled times? Lenin, first dictator of Russia under communism, called religion the opiate of the people. So he ordered the abolition of Christianity in its churches. He had a reason. You cannot adopt the tenets of communism and still believe in Christ. The man of Bethlehem taught love of fellow man. The men of Moscow teach hatred of all men who do not believe as they do. The man of Bethlehem cried for peace on earth. The men of Moscow have decreed there shall be no peace until their beliefs are imposed on the rest of mankind. And today, as we find ourselves arrayed against this ideology of ungodliness in a dispute which may break out into a third world war, we're turning more and more to the teachings of the man who showed the way nearly 2,000 years ago. This doesn't mean appeasement. It doesn't mean surrender. It means we must rededicate ourselves to the teachings of that man if we are to bring order out of chaos in this troubled world.
Fernando Lamas appeared by special arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of Kim. Loretta Young will soon be seen starring at MGM's Cause for Alarm. Next week, NBC will again bring you Hedda Hopper with news of the stars and the stars that make news. There'll be an interesting argument with one of Hollywood's greatest writer-directors, Preston Sturges, a musical visit with Mel Torme, and to top it off, a dramatic highlight with Jan Sterling and Paul Douglas.
Good night, everybody.
This program was transcribed. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. Here's news of an outstanding musical event. Starting Monday, January 29th, the Boston Pops Orchestra will be heard in a new Monday evening concert series. Theater Guild's next with John Lund and Gene Crane on NBC.